You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Our guest today is Joe Vizzani, CEO founder of Lunar Crush.
This episode is brought to you by the Tonio Block Card. Earn up to 6.38% back on every merchant purchase with no limits. Block Card is the easiest, cheapest, and best way to use your cryptocurrency to buy what you want, when you want, at over 50 million merchants globally. Block Card has no exchange fees, no deposit fees, and no transaction fees. You can sign up at getblockcard.com, deposit funds, and instantly get access to your virtual card. We'll mail you a physical card too. You can also sync it with Apple or Google Pay. If you hold cryptocurrency, then you need to get Block Card today. Visit getblockcard.com.
I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at Bitcoin.com. Now let's bring on our guest. So Joe, you're with a company called Lunar Crush. I think you actually founded it, did you not?
I did, with a couple other co-founders as well. You can never do anything alone.
No, you can't. And what made you come up with this concept, and what is this Lunar Crush?
So back in, 2013, 2014, my co-founder John and I, kind of found Bitcoin like anyone else. It's, it was just the intersection of technology and finance. And it was like, how do we start doing something around this? How do we get involved? And it actually was just a couple of years of us just talking about it. It was such in those early stages back then. And, it wasn't really until, about 2016 that we started getting pretty serious about it. And, once there were so many other projects that were coming online and people were talking about things, we were like, what's this Ethereum thing? What's this Tezos thing? What are these other projects? And, our kind of close group of people around us, we were always the ones that people were asking, what do I do? What do I buy? And, so we started kind of trying to figure out like, hey, do we do some sort of consulting thing around this? And real quickly, I was like, I've worked, for financial advisors before, like we can't give advice around these things. How about we just, build a product in the space? And that's how we become experts. And, when you're trying to figure out what's out there, you're looking at influencers on Twitter, you're looking at Reddit posts, you're trying to find news, and you don't really have an understanding of all of these things in one place. And, unlike traditional stock markets that have, 10Ks, earnings reports, and that's really what drives value over time with cryptocurrency, it's all about supply and demand. What are people saying? Is there an audience? Is there traction? And we kind of look at it like, the number of people talking on social is almost like the number of wallets that someone has, on their blockchain. And that growth is something that you need to pay attention to within the crypto space. And so we just started building, we're people that were just like, let's put this thing together and see what it's going to look like. And, about a million iterations later and a year after launching, we've got lunarcrush.com, which is a social listening tool for crypto, where we track over 2,000 coins and help people identify insights across social and find people to follow and kind of this kind of meeting place for people within the crypto community.
It's such a great platform and a great idea. One of the challenges is kind of what you said is how do you find the truth or how do you find the good from the bad? Because this space has some of the best marketing talent on the planet. People whose main goal and job is to get you to buy something as they and their companies are looking to exit it to help fund their business. So what's that been like for you? Kind of seeing the way that some of these companies are evolving, some of them are kind of devolving. And there's a lot of shilling going on in the space.
Yeah. And, there's so many different categories of people out there that are in this space. And, you've got kind of these folks that you kind of call the Bitcoin maximalists. And then you've got kind of the other group of people that are out there, in some of these small altcoins. And my kind of theory around that is that, into the future, I think there's going to be more cryptocurrencies than there are today. But I think that most of the cryptocurrencies or a lot of them that exist today will not exist into the future because I see many of them as startups, as projects, as things that are out there trying to kind of just exist into the future. They're trying to grow like any other company would. Some are completely decentralized. Some are just pure blockchain and have foundations, and that's great. Some are DeFi projects or something else. And so I think the interesting part about our space is that and why it's grown so rapidly is because it's inherently global and it's inherently digital. And so what you're seeing with some of these projects is that they've learned very quickly, almost like the gaming community, because a lot, you got to remember, a lot of these projects and a lot of these people were kind of born out of that gaming community, inherently developers, very digital.
Yeah.
And no one does growth better than the gaming community. No one does it better. And so it's kind of translated, I think, into this space, and they understand social media very well. And that allows them to grow very rapidly, or at least proliferate the idea very quickly.
Yeah. And it's interesting kind of from the perspective of, there are those like the Jed McCalebs of the world. They are the technicians, where they're looking to create something to change the world. And then you have others, won't name, where their pure goal mission is really a marketing play. How do I get super wealthy and kind of take advantage of people in the space? We have a lot of listeners around the world. Some of them are new to crypto. And the challenge that they're going to have is that when you get in, while people know the name Bitcoin, they then have a lot of options after that of, what do I, if I'm going to look for a digital asset, you know, what should I buy, or what is safe, or what kind of wallet, or should I use a crypto debit card? Like our sponsor this show is Ternio Block Card. That you've been able to find a way to develop all of these metrics, and no one's ever done it before you. So how do you create something that is fair to everybody involved?
Well, you have to stay non-biased, excuse me, and you have to be a true third party. And you know, one thing that we've done thus far is we have not done any sort of, you know, paid marketing on our site. You know, we want to partner with a lot of the projects that are out there and allow, you know, new projects to come online and showcase what they're all about and showcase their community. But we don't give any preferential treatment to anyone, and so you need more companies out there that are, you know, that are doing things like that and that are kind of staying, you know, non-biased and want to grow for the community and reward the community for being a part of, you know, our community. And so, you know, you really have to look out there, and that's kind of what we are. Some of our mission was, is to kind of democratize the data. And so at a glance, allowing new investors or people that are coming online, maybe just after Bitcoin, and they're start to kind of dive down the rabbit hole a little bit of the rest of the marketplace and identify, you know, there's a huge difference between, you know, an altcoin, you know, that is, has a couple $1 billion market cap and, you know, has a couple year track record than, you know, something that maybe is, you know, number 700 and has a $10 million market cap. You know, there's a lot of inherent risk there. And so, you know, by putting all the data out there and making it simple for people to understand, you know, we're trying to get out there and help people really identify again where the value is at. And, you know, to kind of touch a little bit about very new investors trying to understand where to buy, where the wallets are at. I think there's a lot of work being done in that area, and it's now being done by some of the more mainstream companies and, you know, very quietly people like Cash App or very quietly people like PayPal. You know, they're going to start onboarding, you know, billions of dollars into this space, and it's going to happen under everyone's nose while everyone's trying to pay attention to people like Coinbase or Kraken or, you know, Binance.
And from a mass adoption, one of the lingos or terminology, like, define that in your opinion. Like, what do you define as being mass adoption?
It's a super tough question.
That's why I'm asking it. You know, like, it's a tough one, isn't it? Like, define it. What is it? It's all relative.
As an entrepreneur, mass adoption to me has already happened. You know, it's already, you know, if people know what Bitcoin is, you know, the average everyday, you know, even in 2017, I mean, you'd be sitting in line at a FedEx and there'd be two completely random people in front of you that, you know, don't look like techie gamer type people. And they're, you know, they were talking about, hey, you know, did you pick up Tron last week? It's up 50, you know, it's up 50%. So people understand what it is. And I think over the last 2 years after the craziness kind of happened, you've seen a lot of the mainstream people fall out of the marketplace, but all of the builders stayed. And what's happening now is you're seeing a bunch of amazing products that have come online, and that mainstream adoption will come back after that. But I mean, if you were going to, you know, if you know, gun to my head, like, what is it? It's 5% of global money supply.
5%. That's quite remarkable. And so for people that are now coming in and they're tuning into the world of Twitter or the, I don't know, different universe from Discord, to you name it, that many of the influencers that they start to find, some of them don't act like traditional C-suite or CEOs. So How do you not allow that to blind your judgment when you're looking to make an investment into something? Because ultimately, I think we agree that you're ultimately investing in the leadership team of these tokens or of these coins.
Yeah, I think it depends on the project that someone's looking at. I mean, when they're looking at a project and they're saying, is this a DeFi project, you know, a decentralized finance? And then are they doing loans? Is it interest? And, you know, I would look at the type of project and then, you know, kind of start to identify a little bit further what type of people are out there talking about those projects. And so, you know, like I was kind of saying before, I kind of came out of this gamer community. I mean, I've never been in an industry where so many people that were influential in a space had a pseudonym. I mean, you don't even know who they are.
That's right.
There's an anonymous factor to that, but that's kind of the origin of some of this stuff is anonymity. And, you know, people saying that they want to be involved in this space, but they don't necessarily need to give their data out. And that's kind of a baseline to what this industry was started on, which is, you know, I am my own API. And if I want to give you access, you know, to my data, then I get to decide when that happens and when that does not happen. And so I think you have seen, you know, kind of people come out, you know, I think like an early one was like a Bill Shahara from Bittrex, where it's like you put your face on, you know, your product and your company. And that's where some of this transparency and some of this adoption, you know, this better adoption that we've seen is going to come from, because there's trust that comes with that. And trust is very important.
And I think that is paramount to the success, the overall success of this space. And in a very short time period, Lunar Crush has become a trusted advisor. Where do you think that came from, or how do you think that developed so quickly?
I think what we've done really well is kind of been consistent with our communication out to the market with good interesting data. So that the consistency of us, you know, if you look at like our Twitter, for example, and John, my co-founder, does an amazing job with this. We're out there posting detailed analysis of projects 20 times a day, sometimes 30 times a day. And when you do that, and when you involve, you know, the projects, you know, specifically, I mean, people kind of attach to that, and every project is very tribal, you know, which is, I think, is a great thing. People fight for what they believe
they do,
in.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. And so we've done that very well of just getting out there and providing the, you know, the data that I think the market was asking for. I think a lot of people tried to solve this problem, you know, back a couple of years ago. And it was just, I think, maybe too difficult, or they, you know, once they got, because it sounds very simple to people. It's like, hey, we'll pull all this and aggregate the social media data in, and we'll publish it out. It'll be great. But what people don't understand is it took us maybe 18 months, and we're still doing it every single day, to clean the data,
so
clean it, clean spam, organize, rework. And then this is all manual.
I mean, you're an aggregator that has to make sure good data in, or you'll get bad data out.
That's right.
And so how do you see through, because some of these projects of the 2000, how do you see through the truth versus maybe the exaggeration?
I mean, machine learning, I mean, a human, and that was part of, you know, the original idea was that a human cannot go through this data. You cannot look at all this, suck all this data in, and really understand what's happening. And so the beauty of machine learning is that, you know, you're training data to go look for the facts. And when you train a small subset of data, you know, you can start to get some really amazing results, and you can start to get some really amazing, you know, outcomes the further and the more training that you get. And so, like we always say, we've trained a specific library of language for crypto only, because it's such a different language. When people are out there talking about JP Morgan's stock, they're not saying, oh, JP Morgan got wrecked, and spelling it R-E-K-T.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Look at Tesla mooning today.
Are you following me on Twitter? It's so interesting how different it is. I mean, from the way some of the influencers behave, but also to the followers. I mean, it takes a certain type of person to remain in crypto land or crypto universe, does it not?
It does. You almost have to be, you just have to be, it's a weird thing, but it's, you just have to be a little goofy, I guess. You know, you just have to be a little, you know, have that little bit of gamer in you, like I was saying, and just kind of enjoy that different vernacular that comes out when you're talking about these things, and some of the excitement that comes out when you're talking about the project that, you know, is maybe way down on the list that's made a big turn or signed a big deal. But it's just a different type of person. And it's also, like I said, very global and international. And, you know, those are cultures that are colliding and creating this kind of new animal that, you know, you have to be in it to really understand, because from the outside, you know, it just seems odd. I would, you know, truthfully, it seems odd.
It seems very, it also is very consuming. So I got to ask you, how many times a day do you check the iPhone or your phone in general?
Pre-COVID or post-COVID?
I'm saying today, man. Is it like me, where you look at it 500,000 times, like something might have changed?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cool part about having the phone is sometimes, you know, you can actually, some of the apps are, you know, that you use, like Twitter, probably, for example, sometimes is much easier and better to use on the phone. So you could even be sitting at your desk and interacting, and it's easier. But yes, you have to kind of be on top of it. But, you know, you do have to take long, you know, we kind of, you know, call it a dead period, where you have to take time off.
And how do you find that? Because people don't allow you to take off. So you appear, at least Lunar Crush appears, to always be on. Like, you guys don't miss a beat. How have you found a way to do that?
I mean, truthfully, over the last, you know, couple of months, it has been not putting it down, you know, and we, you know, we've just been on it. You know, I mean, sometimes you wake up at 3 a.m. and you see a, you know, post, or you see a customer support, because a lot of our customers are in Europe, or they're in Australia or Singapore, and you just answer it. And it's because you're excited. You're excited to help someone else learn a little bit, and excited to give someone else an answer. And it doesn't matter if it's a mass amount of people that you're talking to or one individual, you have to put the same amount of effort into both of those interactions.
And what have you learned most? I mean, now that Lunar Crush is maturing as an organization, and I will tell you, before you and I went on, somebody sent me a text and said, how do I go from a 4 out of 10 to a 10? That your opinion does matter, that people are concerned now with what you think. So what has surprised you the most about all this?
What has surprised? I think it is the international thing, you know, because at the beginning we probably thought that, you know, a lot of the people, especially because we were talking in English, were going to be from, you know, the US. And I think the surprising thing is that, you know, in every corner of this world, there's an individual, like we were talking about before, that loves to interact and loves to understand what the world could look like, you know, in the future, if the kind of dream comes true, which I believe it will, that, you know, these cryptocurrencies are going to be much more prevalent and much more expansive and solve so many more problems than I think people are even realizing today. And so I think that's been the best part, is because, you know, when we used to go to these conferences, you know, when we could go to conferences, and you'd look in a room of all of the people that were there, and there would be so many different types of people, and you'd just say, what, why are all these people here? What is the one thing that all of these people have in common? And I think it was just hope for a better future, and they wanted to build that. And it can only happen through, you know, hard work and pushing and making a change and being open to all different types of people that want to make that change.
And what advice can you give to the influencers out there in terms of what you're looking for, or more importantly, what is or how they should be acting, behaving, as well as their projects?
Well, I think everyone has a personal responsibility to really to lead the way. And, you know, especially if you're a leader in or a CEO or, you know, of a startup or a leader in one of these projects, it's people are looking to you to make the right decision, to say the right thing. And, you know, you do have to be very cautious with what you put out there. And, you know, the lesson that I always go back to is the Abraham Lincoln's hot letters. You know, he would write the first letter you write or the first email you write, you all know if you're pissed or you're upset, it's going to be a bad one. And you're going to say some things that probably you didn't want to say. So the best thing you do is save and wait an hour, then write another one. Wait a day, write another one. And by the last one, whenever you're ready, you realize that there was such a more diplomatic and correct way to deal with, you know, the thing that, or whatever, you know, the conflict that happened, that it's, you know, it's in a lot of times it's just not even worth it to respond. And so, you know, people get heated and people need to like let off some steam, especially in today's world where, you know, people don't have that opportunity. I mean, you know, you can't even watch sports A lot of people just blow off steam. I mean, you ever been to a Raiders game?
That's
People blow off steam.
You're not always getting the best of people, especially when they're frustrated. And many of these influencers, you know, they do get attacked. They have people around the world that set unrealistic expectations on them. They want it now. And many of them have come in because of YouTube videos that have promised them their wildest dreams will come true. Buy this coin and it will explode to 1,000 times what you bought it for the day before. And when that doesn't happen, you know, people get angry and they get frustrated and they take it out on some of these influencers.
Yeah, you can't. And that's kind of, you know, part of the reason that we built Lunar Crush is that you can't listen to one person. And, you know, even if you click on, you know, coin number 47 or whatever on Lunar Crush right now, you're going to see that there's probably 100 different people that we kind of considered influencers. So over 500 followers that have some engagement that have a potentially differing opinion on that project alone. And then you can look at things like, you know, social contributors, where it's how many people have been talking about that project, you know, hour by hour for like the last year. Right. And so you have to spread out your diligence across lots of people and across lots of resources. And, you know, then it's up to you to make that decision and make that investment. And, you know, you should be diversifying. And if crypto is a small portion of your portfolio, then each individual project that you invest in should be an even smaller. And so when you get a blow up, you got to understand it's the same. It's almost the same thing as venture investing. You know, they've got a model, and it's, you know, 90% of the companies they invest in fail, go to zero. You know, 5% might have a 1x return. You've got three or four that have a, you know, 5x return. And then maybe that 0.01, you know, percent is going to be that 1,000x if you're lucky. And most people don't ever even get that hit. So you got to think about it in the same way when you're investing in cryptocurrency.
So probably not a great advice to go all in and to make sure that if you are going to be in the space to diversify.
Correct. I mean, and everyone's got a different motive when they're going in it. I mean, if you have a small, you know, allocation and you're like, you know what, this is a small allocation, I just want to have fun, I want to roll the dice, you know, then go all in on one, but know that that was your strategy, and don't go all in thinking that, oh, it's going to happen. Do the numbers that I said. Know that when you go all in, there's a 90% chance that that's going to zero.
Well
but
said.
You just have to set yourself up for that.
And so how do we learn more about Lunar Crush?
LunarCrush.com, very simple. You can follow us at Lunar Crush on Twitter. Those are the two best spots to kind of see what we're up to.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bitcoin.com podcast.
Thank you.
You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.